Welcome to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a chance to be introduced to talented and creative people from all spectra of the performing arts, radio, TV, voiceover, music, authors, actors, presenters, and more. Today's guest is Al Cole. He's a communications leader, he's an author, a broadcaster, a sought-after speaker. Al is head of the Al Cole People of Distinction Broadcasting Network, with a large following on the iTunes radio network and beyond. His show, People of Distinction, does exactly what the title implies. He promotes educators, medical and legal professionals, performers and business leaders and others who have made a positive difference in the world. Al's People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards is an annual event in New York City, soon to spread across the country, honoring humanitarian unsung heroes who are lending a helping hand to the human family. As you'll hear in a moment, Al is also a voiceover artist with an amazing set of pipes. So now my conversation with Al Cole. Al, it's really a pleasure to make your acquaintance again. We haven't talked in a while, but welcome back.
Hey, always my pleasure, Jordan. You do a great job, always have. And man, the times that I was on, I think it was two or three times that I was on your show. It was just great. We talked about everything.
We did.
Looking forward to it again today.
We did. And you, the show you're referring to was the CBS overnight show on WBZ in Boston that I did for 20 plus years. And it was great to have a guy with your set of pipes on in the late night. The ladies go crazy for that. Even the younger ladies. I gotta tell you.
Where that's a perk. I love it.
Where are you from? Let's start with that. Where does Al Cole come from originally?
Oh man. You know, I love that question because I come from the smallest state of the union originally, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, it was so integrated. It still is. It's really one of the most integrated places in the country, I believe. I've traveled all around the country. I'm a black man. And when I was a kid, there were a lot of black people around. And there were, of course, white and ethnic white. There were a lot of Portuguese and Italians and then Hispanics and everything. And because Rhode Island is so small, especially my area of Rhode Island around the Providence area, and et cetera, we all lived together. And so some of the popular kids were black kids and some of the, you know, real smart kids were sometimes black kids. It turned out that everybody was respected. It came down to a lot of Martin Luther King's teachings, you know, the content of the character, things along that line, sense of humor, whatever. And even though it wasn't perfect, it was one of the best that I've seen across this country. So I'm very proud of Little Rhodey.
Well, first of all, there's a song called Rhode Island that you may be familiar with, but that's one of my favorite songs from the 40s. But actually, I wanted to touch on one thing about Rhode Island, and that's the accent, which you do not have. You're a professional. But when you were growing up, did you note the interesting combination of New York and Boston that sort of becomes Rhode Island?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, in my area of Rhode Island, on just, you know, within a few streets in my neighborhood, there were about, I'd say about 30% Yankee fans and the rest were Red Sox fans. And we sometimes talk that way. There is a difference between the Massachusetts accent and the New York accent and also the Rhode Island accent. Rhode Island, I could always do pretty well in an exaggerated way, more in an Italian way or something. Hey, how you doing there? All right. Hey, Jordan, it's great to be on your show.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And then Massachusetts, I never really got down well, you know, with Ka and hey, I'm going to buy a new car. I don't know how they talk.
Really. Well, the only thing I can
know it when I hear it.
Yeah.
And then New York, I did this thing once in the New York accent. I put a whole bunch of words together that didn't make a lot of sense, but get the point across. First, I'm going to buy a turkey hamburger for her. That
yes.
Sort of thing.
Good job. I was thinking about one particular sentence that's so simple. When I want to get a cup of coffee, I get in my car. It's that combination of New York and Boston.
That's it.
Coffee and car. But I love Rhode Island. Now, did radio interest you when you were just a young chap or what?
No. I have to admit, I fell into radio kind of, you know, in a back way, a backroom way or something. There was a good friend that I had who was associated with CBS at a certain point. And it was more music that he was really into as far as what I did. But he also had his connections in broadcasting. And he said, well, look, Al, you know, if you ever need a gig with CBS, be glad to have you hired because, you know, your voice and your communicative skills and everything. And at a certain point, I took it up. I took him up on it because things got a little bit slower in the music. And I was looking for a gig, and then I was able to rise through the ranks pretty pretty well, became a full timer. But it was never one of my passions, really. You know, to be straight out honest, my big passion is music, and also the creative end with books, writing books, and and I'm a philosopher. I like to philosophize and get out there in front of people and, you know, talk it up, especially these days with the you know, a lot of the contentiousness that. It's been going on in our society. I get socially active as well. Yeah. So these are the aspects that I do. But see, broadcasting pays the bills for me.
And, well, I asked that question of people because I don't know of anyone who, with a few exceptions, who thought about it at 8 or 9 or 10, at least in the modern era, and then proceeded into it. I mean, when I say the modern era, people in the old days would build their own little radio stations in their homes. And I was one who played with a tape recorder when I was 10 and couldn't wait to get on the air. So I'm one of those throwback guys. But so many people wind up in the business or involved in the business indirectly. That's why I asked the question. But your voice, let's talk about that before we get to some of the projects. Yeah. You've got this naturally deep basso profundo voice, perfect for voiceover and all that. When did you have a sense that you had a voice that you could do something with? And did you have any training early on?
No training, but have great roots and great DNA. When I learned about my own voice, it was when I discovered how great my father's voice was. And that was very, very early on. I mean, preschool. And I used to love listening to my father. And then at another young age, when maybe I started school, my father started his own business. He was a painting contractor, a house painter. He was really a great artist with a paintbrush. And I used to love the way he talked to his clientele over the phone. And sometimes I used to sit as close to the phone as I could and listen to my father's voice. He was very just genteel, witty at times when that was called for. And I said to myself, well, one of these days, I'm going to have dad's voice. And I did, you know, when I turned, what, preteens or something like that. And it just came out that way. And then I had other advantages because of the great parents that that I had growing up. They did whatever they knew Albert's, Albert, that's the big thing. See, behind the scenes, I'm Albert. I slip. But yes, whatever Albert wanted to do that he knew was integral to who he was, they let me do. And so I didn't take voice lessons. However, I had a tutor, and I learned because of my tutor's, you know, being a great diction sort of person. I was influenced that way very positively, read a lot of books. And in school, I had certain advantages with gifted classes and things along that line. So it was easy for me to develop that diction with the voice quality that I inherited from my father. And also it ran throughout the family on both sides with the males.
Well, people hearing
I consider myself lucky.
People hearing you now can attest to the fact that you take good care of your voice. I'm going out on a limb to suggest you probably don't smoke and keep yourself in good shape because your voice is so clean and pure. That's what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. I always take care of myself. And as a voiceover artist and as a broadcaster, my singing skills have come into place because I sing all the time. I always work on my music, and I occasionally get out there, and certainly with my People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards that we'll be talking about, I get out there as well. So that tones up my voice to the singing aspect.
You said you were a philosopher, and there's no doubt you're spreading a very positive message. So let's get into some of these projects. And the fact that you can do things today independently, we all can with the advent of the digital age. But I love the People of Distinction campaign because it's bringing a breath of fresh air, a positive story to the world when we really need it. When and how did this idea come about, Al?
You know, when I left CBS, which was about 8 years ago, I felt that, well, I knew that I wanted to be me. And even though I appreciated the gig, it was not It was partially me. And you know what? I'm gonna start out this way. Even at CBS, a network affiliate that you know very well, in Boston, WZLX, I invented two characters right from the get-go. I mean, you know, off the shoot when I was a full-timer. And I became a full-timer just months after I was hired there with very little experience. And it became me, and it was very popular, Al Cole and the Reverend Al Cole. The Reverend of that great classic rock authority in the sky, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And people used to call, and with, you know, to put it straight, it was a white audience, a lot of Southie, you know, Irish, and calling in saying, "Hey, brother, I'll get saved tonight if you play me a request." And the Reverend used to say, "You got it, baby." And, you know, and it became very, very popular. Mm. So my passion, even then, was to bring together all of my creative skills. And I did that. However, I wanted to do it my way. So when I finally left, developed my own business, I took a little while to think it out because I wasn't doing talk radio at that time. I was doing DJ radio, spinning discs and, you know, talking it up with the music. And somebody gave me the idea, a network affiliate at that time and with digital media, that, you know, Al, there's a burgeoning market for talk. And so I started to explore that. And then I kind of just fell into it because I had a lot of contacts, and some of the contacts were publicists and book publishers nationally. And then they encouraged me to do the talk, and they said, "Well, you know, we can give you some of our clients to be on the show." And then I turned it into a moneymaker when I looked back at CBS and said, "Well, you know, how do they make their money? Well, they make their money two ways primarily, and maybe a whole bunch of ways after that. But one is advertising, and that's why the general manager is the head of any CBS station or any station nationally, because he's kind of like the head salesman, and the PD is second, the whatever goes out in the air. So I followed that, and I said, "All right, so I'm going to do advertising for people. How am I going to do that?" And I developed feature ads and things along that line, and it was relatively easy to sell because people believed in my voice, and they got a great interview. And then I went on to other things. This gets into some of the other products. Then I developed my own radio network because I was asked into Apple's iTunes radio network under their professional news talk division, not the store. But their news talk division that airs CBS radio shows, BBC shows, NPR, National Public Radio, and even C-SPAN, Fox News, and everything. So it was easy for me to interest other people who wanted more visibility for what they were doing to buy into my network. Mm-hmm. And I started airing their shows. Dee Wallace, the actress who starred in E.T. the Extraterrestrial, is one of my clients. She's been with me for about 4 years or so. And Dee is very well known as the mother of Steven Spielberg's E.T., the Extraterrestrial.
Right, right.
So, and she introduced me to other people who became clients of mine that way. And then I built my People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards events. And they started out in New York in 2013. We honor humanitarian and creative unsung heroes, and that's down my alleyway. We've honored about nearly 100 unsung heroes since 2013 in New York. We were invited into Capitol Hill by Congressman Rob Whitman of Virginia. And we've done events in front of congressional people, Congress people, and also a lot of military people, high scale, you know, some generals, admirals.
Let me just stop you for a second, yeah, because I think the key element of what you're saying is you're doing what you really want to do from an altruistic point of view, but it's also a moneymaker. It's how you pay your bills. You've monetized this in a very creative way, and in terms of inspiring others. I guess the story is this: you can do it if you set your mind to it, and you're efficient and you are professional. I mean, you have opportunities out there now that you might not have had in the past without the web.
Well, that's true. And another very, very big aspect to this, Jordan, is you have to know your market as well. And in digital media radio, the market is not primarily, and I can say this from my experience, maybe other people have a different way that they've made a living at it. The market is not primarily listeners. In terrestrial, it is. But in terrestrial, they're local listeners all the time. And jocks go out there sometimes making $200 an hour personal appearances, and they talk it up, and that's how, you know, the station stays popular, one of the ways. In digital media, it's not like that, because it's all over, not just all over the country, all over the world. And most listeners in digital media, sometimes they don't even know what they're listening to, because the World Wide Web is so vast. Anybody can listen to anything at a certain point, and time spent listening is not as great. People are listening for a minute or two, or whatever, and sometimes, you know, if you're lucky, 5 minutes. And so they're dropping off, and listeners don't generally support the host anyway. They're going to support anybody. They're going to support the guest. So really, it's up to the talk show host in digital media to say, my market, hey, that's my guests. And I made a living through my guests supporting my products. Clients of mine.
Very, very interesting business model that's worked. But I think the reason it's worked, and I don't mean to stroke your ego here, is the fact that it's you, and you have this very warm, inviting, and good sense of people's issues when you're interviewing people. I mean, this is the element that is a wild card. You know, it sounds, the way you describe it, as something that anyone can do, but it really takes the skill sets of an Al Cole to pull it off. And I want to talk to you a little bit about your interviewing style and what you've learned and how it's changed and evolved since you started really digging into these people of distinction.
Mm-hmm. My interviewing style is very, very structured. It doesn't come across that way, but I know it is. One of the big things that I know about digital media radio, and possibly terrestrial as well, the introduction is worth about one third of the interview itself. The way one introduces one's guest introduces oneself even before one introduces a guest. Because see, I know that my structure is really geared to the guest, not so much to the listeners. Mm. So I play myself up right from the start, and I'll talk about a lot of my products right from the get-go, and I'll talk about the inspiring aspect that People of Distinction brings into the purview of broadcasting. And my guests really catch on. But even before that, I'll have a pre-interview chat with my guests so that they'll learn more about Al Cole. They'll be impressed by Al Cole. I can do an interview with anybody just by knowing their first name, really. But I want to do that pre-interview chat so that people will know about me. And in some cases, in many cases, my reputation precedes me, because they're brought to me by publicists and book publishers who know me nationally. Right. Then I will go into what they do, of course, as any interviewer would. But there's a double entendre here, because at a certain point, I'll put the People of Distinction accent on whoever comes. And I will say it my way back to them, and they'll agree. And they'll say, whoa, Al, you get it. In fact, can I write that down? Wow, you said it better than I can. See, that's when you know you're really getting through to somebody. And they'll always end all of my shows with possibility thinking. Possibilities in our human future, if whatever they were talking about positively became the modus operandi of our society. In other words, whoa, what would it be like if we had everybody like you doing business on the level that you're doing? What kind of world would that look like now, inspirationally, for the development of our human family? People catch on to that, and they say after the show, man, I love it. What a great interview, Al. Then I'll introduce other products to them at that point, starting with feature ads. So you get it? That's how I...
I do get it. And I also appreciate the fact that you there's a lot of work that goes into, as you say, the structure of it all. And people should know, when I'm doing what I'm doing, when Al's doing what he's doing, it's not just thrown together. There's some thinking behind it. The other aspect, though, to this is the live events. As a radio guy, you and I know a lot of other radio guys and people in broadcasting who, if you mention, hey, you want to be at a live event and MC something, they'd run the other way. You obviously take to this as I do. I love doing things. Tell me how these things have gone for you and what the experience is like from your point of view doing a live event honoring these folks.
It's been amazing. When I put my first live event together called the People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards events, and by the way, people, your listening audience, can visit my website, peopleofdistinction.org, and you can see all of the heroes that we've honored since 2013, etc. I put that together in New York City because the Big Apple has always been my heart. And so I got a few people. I started with the Epiphany right at the beginning of 2013, and I said, I want to do a live event. And because I do about 300 interviews per year, hell of a lot, I talked it up with everybody who came to my show. What do you think about this? People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards, honoring humanitarian and creative unsung heroes in our society. And everybody loved it, especially the unsung hero part. And so I started to engage them, and I put together that planning committee of 7 to 10 people, but it soon outstripped that. There were 50 and then 100 and hundreds and then thousands of people with the support of a lot of my national publicists and book publishers, and it got all around. And as a result, on my website, peopleofdistinction.org, you'll see 200 or 300 people who have sent in their write-ups and their pictures in support of what I did with the People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards. Our first event was in New York City, and it was a gala event, sold out. People flew in from all over the country, not just in New York. In fact, most of our unsung heroes were from out of the country, L.A. and Chicago and all the big cities. And it was so successful that, of course, we did it again in 2014, another sold-out success. 2015, we had some U.S. congressmen coming in from Washington. They loved it, spread the word, and the result of that was our events on Capitol Hill with U.S. Congressman Rob Woodman of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And this year, we have a great event coming up in Florida that, we still have some tickets because it's about a month out, as the taping of this indicates. And people can go to my website again, peopleofdistinction.org. It's in Florida. One of my unsung heroes from Capitol Hill was Reverend Temple Hayes. She's aligned with Michael Beckwith of the Agape Church in Los Angeles. And Temple opened the door, offered her place called the First Unity Spiritual Campus in St. Petersburg. We're honoring unsung heroes in the same way. She's bringing in her national people as well. However, because it's Florida, we're going to be honoring some of the heroes from Hurricane Irma, as we did with Sandy in New York, and people who might have even saved a life or two. And then we're going to commemorate the tragedy, of course, in Parkland, Florida, that occurred with the 17 younger people killed. And we're having actually some high school students coming in, speaking their mind about the future. We'll have a panel discussion among young people, middle-agers, and seniors, as far as where this country should be going. And so it gets deep with this stuff. And I'm always out there talking the People of Distinction thing of, look, people, love is more powerful than hatred. And if we start out with love, we start out with the things that we have in common. Well, we start out as friends. Now, friends can solve the a lot of the ills of the society a lot better than enemies, and review some of the love that you've given, the love that you've received in this world. You're going to be better off. Recharge those batteries, and now, whoa, you can transmit that beautiful love energy outwardly to positively affect the people around you, those good vibes. So we talk that way, and even though we don't live all the time in a positive world, people love to hear that, and it does re-spark that battery, recharge that battery inside and create that love energy. So, well, that's what it's all about.
Then. You've given us a beautiful short clip dose of the philosophy, which I think is what has propelled you to your success so far and continues to propel you. And I just remember talking to you in the late night hours when you were still involved in radio terrestrially. And then you've moved into this new area and have really done remarkably well. And again, peopleofdistinction.org is the website, but I would nominate you as a man of distinction for doing what you're doing and helping to, leave a nicer legacy behind than some. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. And as an appendage to that, thank you, Jordan. I did receive a plaque in 2015. I didn't even know that it was coming, but at the end of the award celebration, one of my unsung heroes presented that, and I felt so thrilled about that. And my mother was actually an unsung hero in 2014. She was nominated by one of my committee members, unbeknownst to me. It's not anything that that I pushed. And my mother, great businesswoman, very very big in the community with particularly minority businesses, and she spoke so well, got a standing ovation. So, yeah, I have been honored even at my own event. My mother has too, and we feel very, very elated about that.
Well, congratulations. It's so nice to reconnect after a couple of years. And I know a lot of people in the broadcast world, we lose touch with each other. Thank goodness for podcasts. Thank goodness for reaching out. And the ability to communicate over many moons and over many miles is really fun. Al, I can't thank you enough. And I wish you loads and loads of wonderful events and success to come.
Thank you so much, Jordan. And I will say one other thing. Any of your listeners want to get in touch, email me at alcoholic@gmail.com, alcoholic@gmail.com. And that's the name that my CBS radio listeners gave to me. It seemed like right from the start they were saying, Al, we love what you're doing there, brother. In fact, we're hooked on it. We're alcoholics.
I will absolutely repeat that often, alcoholics@gmail.com. Thank you, my friend, and keep the faith. Be well.
Thank you, Jordan. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast produced by Chart Productions. Just click the Jordan Rich podcast link at chartproductions.com for more. Please subscribe, download, rate, and review us on Apple and any other podcast platform. Hey, it's great to be with you as always. Thanks for listening. Have a terrific day.